Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Wednesday, the 29th of July. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Our top story today is that a Canterbury man has appeared in court after his dog escaped and attacked a passerby before biting a police officer who was sent to investigate. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, can you explain exactly what happened?
Well, Lester McKenzie's Rottweiler, who's called Obi, got out after a delivery driver left a gate unsecured at his home in St Martin's Road in June last year. A man who was walking along the road at the time saw the dog run into the road. In court, he described the pet as being very aggressive and barking at him. While he tried to wave the dog away, it charged towards him and bit him on his left elbow, leaving him needing hospital treatment. A witness called police, and Obi is said to have targeted another person but didn't injure them and eventually returned home.
And I believe the court heard a victim impact statement from the first man who was bitten.
That's right. He revealed that he needed antibiotics and a tetanus injection. His statement went on to say how he thought the incident would have been much more serious if the dog had bitten a child. The court was also told how a PC, who was sent out the same day to investigate, was bitten on the hand and wrist by Obi. He also needed hospital treatment where his wound was dressed and he was given a tetanus jab. Obi was later seized by police and has spent the past 13 months in kennels.
So what sentence has been handed down?
Well, McKenzie, who's 57, admitted being the owner of a dog dangerously out of control, and it's been revealed how he's made his garden more secure to prevent the dog from escaping. He's been given a six-month community order and must do 40 hours of unpaid work. He's also got to install an internal gate so Obi can't get close to visitors to the front door. Compensation must be paid to the victims, and it was also revealed the cost of keeping the dog in kennels was more than £13,000. As far as Obi is concerned, an assessment found he could be physically challenging and aggressive towards strangers. It's been ruled he should wear a muzzle in public and only be walked by an adult on a lead.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a 19-year-old appeared in court charged with murder following a fatal crash near Whitstable. 18-year-old Harley Seal died after the motorbike he was riding was involved in a collision with a car on Chesfield Road last Friday night. Connor Todd, who's from Porchlight Place in Cecilta, has been remanded in custody. A man accused of trying to kill his wife at their home near Ashford has been told he'll go on trial in February next year. Andrew Baker was charged with attempted murder after she was found with stab wounds in April. The 61-year-old from Fountains Close in Willesborough is yet to enter a plea and has been remanded in custody. A rehab charity in Kent says the number of young people seeking help for ketamine addiction has more than doubled in the past year. Now, the drug is thought to have been growing in popularity but can cause serious complications, including bladder damage and long-term mental health issues. Jack Bennett started using it when he was just 16 and finally got support from the Kenwood Trust in Yalding last year. He's now 10 months sober and has been speaking out in a bid to help others.
My life become unmanageable. Ketamine took over me. I spent all my money on it. Any time I got a bit of money, I become a person I never thought I'd be. When I walked in here, I've said it before, I was in so much pain, got out of my dad's car. I was like 9 stone. My face was all skinny. So I lost loads of weight. So the physical health went right down. My mental health and my bladder shrunk, so the ketamine swells up your bladder, the lining of your bladder, and it shrinks inside, and it gives you chronic pain, like the inflammation in your bladder, and it can affect your kidneys and your liver. So some people have bags through their liver because there's infections in there. So I've got friends who've got bags in his back. I've got some friends, like my mate has got to have the whole reconstruction of the bladder. I was going to have it, but I refused. And they cut you open, cut your bladder open, and cut a bit of your bowel off and stitched it back on. and I don't want that. So I've got to go for, I'm on about 16 medications a day, different tablets, and they put me on a new one from the hospital called Elmeron. It's supposed to help with the ladder lining. Then I've got to go to Maidstone Hospital once a week after 6 months, for about 6 months, 3 to 6 months, to have catheter every week and flush liquid up there. Then they've got to do Botox. So in about a year's time, after all that, I'll have Botox. But if I have it out, it wouldn't work because, like, it's ruined. I mean, I went to have surgery, like, had a hydroextension, but it didn't work. It to expand the bladder. So, yeah, I still suffer, but I don't let it defeat me. And I just want to break that stigma, do you know what I mean? Like, especially men, they bottle it up, they keep quiet, and then instead of reaching out. So, like, I've had friends, like, who have, like, committed suicide, some of them from care, my good friends, from other things. It's not nice, but men should be able to speak out, and the stigma needs breaking. So I want to help people with my recovery. So that's what I'm doing at the minute.
You can also read Jack's story by heading to the website today.
Kent Online reports.
A Chatham man's appeared in court after he was found with more than 1,000 indecent images of young children. Raymond Davies had downloaded material to his devices. Police also found handwritten stories about children when they searched his home in Eldon Street. The 53-year-old pleaded guilty and will be sentenced in September. A man who threatened someone with a knuckle duster during a fight on Sheppey has avoided being sent to jail. Martin Bailey was arrested after trouble broke out in Laysdown Road last December. The 55-year-old from Manaway in Laysdown pleaded guilty in court and was given a suspended sentence. Elsewhere, a man who broke into a house in Gillingham wearing a ski mask and demanded money from a pensioner has been jailed. Three criminals were involved in the raid near Begonia Avenue in January, with one of them holding a zombie knife to the victim's throat. 25-year-old Jack Dallas from Trinity Road was tracked down by police using DNA from the scene. He admitted aggravated burglary and has been locked up for 8 years and 3 months. Now, with temperatures set to top 30 degrees in Kent again today, there's a warning not to cool off in rivers and lakes. And Amber, heat health alerts come into force for 24 hours until 9 tomorrow morning. Earlier in the summer, a young boy drowned after venturing into a pond near Swanscombe. Well, Tom Edwards is an area manager at Kent Fire and Rescue.
Water safety is very important to us as well. Kent Fire and Rescue Service are responsible for inland water safety, so anything that's not coastal, with our colleagues in organisations such as the RNLI and Coast Guards working on the coastal areas. So it's really important to recognise that whilst you may be hot, and indeed some water may not feel too cold at the surface, cold water shock is prevalent in these conditions. So where we have deep bodies of water, they get very cold very quickly, and that can cause and be the start of drownings if people do jump into water to cool off. So we'd really encourage people to do that in the safest way possible. So we're lucky in Kent, we've got many leisure centres where we've got swimming pools that members of the public can access, and then also patrolled beaches on the coast. So we would always encourage people to go to areas where there are lifeguards, where the RNLI and the Coast Guard are present, safe as possible. Rivers, inland water can have hidden hazards underneath the water as well, so things like tree roots, branches, etc. under the water, which it is quite easy to become trapped in if you're not aware of the conditions, and also the speed of the water. I know on more significant rivers, the Stour and the Medway, the water can be moving at a real pace, and swimmers can quite easily get into difficulty.
I know the Volunteer Rescue Service have been doing some patrols of the River Medway. I know they've been working with yourselves and the police. I mean, they perform a vital service of getting that message across as well, don't they?
Yeah, most definitely. And we work with partners across those organisations to keep people as safe as possible. We've launched a campaign called Make the Right Call, which is having an understanding of who to call if you do or you are in difficulty yourself, or you see someone getting into difficulty in water. As I mentioned earlier, if it's an inland waterway, so lakes, rivers, streams, etc., that's us. So call 999 and ask fire service. If you're in a coastal area, dial 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Kent Online reports.
Four people have been arrested in Whitstable and Herne Bay by police investigating reports of solar panel fraud. It's claimed a number of people were conned into paying for unnecessary upgrades that weren't carried out over a three-year period. Three men and a woman aged between 36 and 65 have been questioned and bailed while inquiries continue. Government funding's been secured to improve access at the Port of Dover in a bid to ease traffic congestion. The £20 million scheme will create space for another 500 lorries at the Eastern Docks. Bosses say it'll reduce the need to use Operation Brock, which is currently in force on the M20, and Dover Tap. Next on today's episode, and people living in a village near Dover say they're virtually stranded without any buses running over the summer. After Shepherdswell lost its all-day services last November, the only one is for school children, but that doesn't run during the holidays. Well, residents say it's left them struggling to get to appointments, collect shopping and visit relatives. Reporter Sam Lennon has been speaking to some of them.
I am being diagnosed as having stress fractures on my legs, so I need to attend physio weekly in Dover. And as you probably know, this was the first week of the school holidays, so I've got 6 weeks where I have to get into Dover. I've been charged between £18 and £20 for taxis when the school has been on a holiday, and so it's obviously impacted me financially and physically. I can't get down the hill. It's a 1.9 gradient hill that we have in Shepherdswell to be able to use the train. And I certainly can't climb up the hill.
I cannot get to the shops. I cannot get for shopping, clothing. We can't get to a post office.
There's none in Shepherdswell.
There is one on a Monday and a Friday, but then on bank holidays, that's not possible. And my husband is in a care home at Whitfield, and there's no way a bus can take me near there. It seems awful that I've got to bring somebody from Dover to pick me up, to take me to see my husband. And they're very willing, both of my sons, and they're very helpful. But you can't keep intruding on people's good nature.
It affects older folk, first and foremost. It means there's no connection to Whitfield to do the shopping. It means getting to hospital appointments, doctor's appointments have become increasingly difficult. Mm. It means people have got bus passes, but got no buses to use the bus passes with. We've got bus stops in Shepherdswell, and there's no buses stop at the bus stops. It also affects younger people as well, because there is a school bus which picks up young people in the morning and brings them back in the evening to take them to schools in Dover.
One school bus?
Yeah.
One in the morning, one in the afternoon.
Yeah. And that bus, of course, stops outside of school term. So younger people are affected as well, because they can't get to see their mates. They can't get around. It affects visitors coming into the village. Mm. It's harder for visitors to come and visit, particularly the elderly visitors. So all in all, although people say, well, there's not enormous amount of people who would use the buses, we think buses should be a public service.
Dover District Council bosses say they're raising the issue with the county authority. They've told us they may provide funding for bus services that are not commercially viable but are considered socially necessary. They go on to say that given the limited resources available, we're unable to guarantee that every area of Kent can be served by a council-funded bus service.
Kent Online News.
A new battery energy storage system is going to be built on Scrubland in Northfleet. plans to put 20 containers off Thames Way have been approved. It'll be linked to a nearby substation and used to store power. A Kent-based winemaker has recorded a strong set of financial results as they say progress is being made in the US market. Tenterden-based Chapel Down is now available in 31 states after agreeing a partnership deal in America. They've seen net sales revenue rise by 19% to £9.4 million. A Kent woman who set up a community support centre and food bank in Herne Bay is getting an honorary doctorate today from the University of Kent. Maya Amageldieva also has a free shop which started in 2022. She's being made a Doctor of Enterprise and Innovation for her work to support local people. Well, Maya's been speaking to our colleagues at KMTV.
I was in a food bank and I received the email and I didn't know what it's about. And then the volunteers explained to me and we just cried all together.
What's the reason why you have been given this privilege to be an honorary graduate?
Well, my name is Maya. I'm a founder of the Free Shops. Free Shop is a pre-recycling centre. It's a bridge between poverty and waste. It brings communities together. It helps a lot of people in need. And also it's really environmentally friendly project. It was difficult when I just opened, when I said Free Shop, people say what that is, but now it's more easier. They know what it's all about. It's about helping people in need without expecting anything in return.
Mm-hmm. And what's the last few years been like for you? I know kind of your campaign has kind of got wider and wider. I know that you're expanding at the moment with different free shops. Can you tell us about that?
Well, when people realise what Free Shop is and how big its impact on poverty aspect, everyone was begging me to open free shops everywhere. But physically, I can't do it myself. So I decided to open a company called Free Shops Training Academy, where I train community champions or existing charities from all across UK. I have over 80 applicants at the moment. I train them how to open and run sustainable free shops and help their communities and reduce the waste. In next few weeks, we will see Birmingham Free Shop, Warwickshire Free Shop, Dover Free Shop, and Thanet Free Shop, which I'm really excited because Thanet is a very deprived area. I'm so happy we have community champion who's taking over the Thanet and people will get help.
Kent Online Sports.
We're going to start off with football and Gillingham have officially signed Nick Freeman after a successful trial at the club. He joined the Gills at the start of pre-season after previously playing for manager Gareth Ainsworth at Wycombe Wanderers. The 30-year-old says he's delighted to get the deal over the line.
Obviously, it's been going on for a while now and people probably thought, oh, is this happening and whatnot, but I'm just delighted to get it over the line and just get going, really. It's been a while and it's a great group of lads, great staff, and I'm just happy to be here, to be fair.
Obviously you worked with the gaffer before. Yep. That being said, was that made your decision much simpler?
Of course, much simpler, yeah. Played for him, 6-7 years. And he always creates a really positive environment, really happy environment for the lads. So I knew coming in here would be a nice feel factor. It was a no-brainer, to be honest.
Obviously, you played a few games already in pre-season. How welcome have the boys made you feel?
Yeah, it's a really good group. It's a mix as well, which I like. It's got some young, some middle-aged, and some obviously more senior lads. And everyone's pushing each other. It's been quite a tough pre-season from the first day I came in. And it's the positivity and everyone just driving each other, making each other better every day, even like in the gym sessions. It's been good and I felt really welcome from like first couple of days that I came in to now, to be fair.
The gaffer has referenced your versatility. Have you got a preferred position on the pitch or were you quite happy just as long as you're on the team sheet?
I'm happy as long as I'm on the team sheet, but growing up I've always been like a midfielder, so I'm happy just as long as I'm on the pitch and helping the team do what I can.
Generally speaking, how much are you looking forward to this new chapter?
Yeah, it is. It's a new chapter and I'm really excited. Me and the family are really excited to get going and I'm glad that it's done now. We can look forward to competitive games coming up. Now we're at the back end of pre-season and just to see where the season takes us. I think we've got a really good group, really good lads, lots of quality around the place and fantastic staff as well. And obviously the resources here as well is fantastic. So I'm really excited to see where the season can take us.
Whitstable's Sian Honour has added another Commonwealth medal to her tally. The 38-year-old's claimed gold in the women's pairs bowls with teammate Amy Farrow. She now has 3 golds and 2 bronze medals from 5 Commonwealth Games in total. And Kent swimmer Emily Smith has won another medal at the Games as well. The 16-year-old from Tunbridge took bronze in the women's 200-metre individual medley. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.